planet to live righteously.
Hey, it's me, Richie T, and it's time for another episode of The Cultural Hall. It's episode number 157, where in the second and third block, I'll be speaking with a pattern maker. I know what you're thinking. Please listen to the second and third block of this, because it's way more than a pattern maker, but I want to give it that label, so check it out, the second and third block here at The Cultural Hall. I got some emails I want to share with you first. This one from Tyler says, hey, I recently saw the post by The Cultural Hall about the negative vibe that has been surrounding the church a lot lately. I've also run into a lot of negative news online that has me feeling a little down. Between the controversy concerning John DeLynn, Brittany leaving the hall, and the Patriots going to another Super Bowl, I've been feeling very lost in my beliefs and my feelings. My work keeps me from church 3 weeks at a time, and I felt very distanced from my ward and the church in general. I sat at work on Sunday pondering over these feelings, and I came up with a solution. I'm happy to say that I found a very simple solution to my issues. Sometimes it's just the Sunday school answers that do actually work. I went online and I started reading the Book of Mormon. I was looking for peace, and that was it. Ironically, I found peace in the early Helaman chapters that are filled with war, secret combinations, and contention. I was reminded that we can all find peace amongst the turmoil in the world. I didn't resolve anything, nor did I have a profound revelation. I just felt at peace. I don't expect every issue to be resolved during my time on Earth, and for that reason, I am grateful that I had this moment of comfort. I just wanted to share that with my Cultural Hall family. Thanks for being a source of entertainment and comfort. Tyler in Alberta, Canada. Thank you, Tyler. This one from Brooke. This is commenting on the state of the hall. She says, you asked for feedback, so number one, I'd like to know when to expect a new episode each week. I don't like the idea of random episodes that may come as they happen. Number two, I'm glad you're changing the layout of the website, because I've always found it confusing. I don't have any good suggestions, however. I'm lame that way. Sorry. And then number three, please bring Brittany back as often as she is willing, and I will do that. So thank you, Brooke, for sending in that email. These emails either from the contact page at theculturalhall.com or by emailing richie@theculturalhall.com. This email from Gerald. Gerald says, hey, I'm pretty sure that the My Husband's Not Gay was a one-time show, not a series. And if I'm wrong, and it is a series, I wouldn't bother to go watch anymore. One was enough. Thanks, Gerald. This email from Matt, he shares this about the Indie Temple announcement. This was sent to his ward, and he lives out that way. Matt Rybar says, we've received the following exciting news from the First Presidency regarding the dates for the temple open house and dedication. We've mentioned this in this week's articles of news, but it bears repeating. The open house for the Indy Temple will be July 17th through the 8th of August, cultural celebration August 22nd, temple dedication August 23rd, and open for ordinances on the 25th. This will be a great blessing and missionary tool for all of us in the area. Sincerely, Indy Third Ward Bishopric. So thank you for passing that along, Matt. And then this, finally, I shared this on the Facebook page, but this is from Hildy Westenhaver, which is a great name. Thank you, Hildy. She says, hey, I wrote the article about the Mormon baby names, and you didn't put the correct link. It's at nameberry.com. The link is, and then she gives me the whole URL, which is the URL that I shared. So thanks for emailing me, Hildy. You were wrong. There it is. Coming up in the second and third block, it's a pattern maker. It's more than a pattern maker. It's the Cultural Hall.
Running a small business today can be difficult enough. Imagine all the work you have to do to market it. Imagine the hours you put in to create promotional materials for it. Now, imagine a partner that can help you with all of that and more. Imagine Lennon Design. Lennon Design is your partner in business when you need a professional look at a price you can afford. Whether it's websites, advertising media, promotional materials, and more, Lennon Design can help you promote your business. When you need creative, affordable designs, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
Time for the second block of the Cultural Hall, and we're here at the Desert Star Theater today. I'm not in a show here at this present time. It's a convenient place to be able to meet up and to do this. And meeting up with Rebecca McKinney, who Before we turned the microphones on, I asked her, you know, what would you prefer to be called? I said fashion designer. She said, no. I said mother. She said, ma. How about pattern maker? So we're going to find all about that. Thank you for agreeing to be here and meeting here. And I know that there's a certain amount of coordination with the day to get it. So thank you for being here.
Yes. I thank my friend who's watching my kids. It's Melinda Monday.
So. Oh, nice. I typically will go kind of chronologically with people, but because I think people are going, what in the heck is a pattern maker? Maybe we should address that and then we'll kind of get to know you a little bit more.
I am the person who turns something from a drawing into an actual clothing item. I do everything digitally, so I draft all my patterns on just a CAD program.
Okay.
And I just turn it from a vague sketch or even, you know, some people, very few in Utah, turn in a tech pack. But traditionally, I just will sit across from someone at a table like you and I are now. Mm-hmm. And they'll even like gesture and they'll be like, I kind of want my dress to do this. And then I'll just draw it up for them. They'll kind of approve it, and I'll just make it. So that's
so, so do
awesome.
You, can you do it from beginning to end? Then you actually will physically make the dress, too,
yes.
Not just...
Yes. Everything, like, if... I'm very uncomfortable putting photos in my portfolio that I didn't physically make.
Uh-huh.
I think it just kind of shows that I did the whole thing, and I'm also incredibly controlling. So
so it's easier to get the product you want if
yes.
you do it from beginning to
yes.
end.
Yes, I can give someone, I prefer to give them something and say, copy this exactly. And when I work with a factory, they'll give it back to me and I'll be like, no, I said exactly.
Yeah.
And it's like, you kind of have to smack their hand and like, no, don't eliminate the understitching.
Yeah.
No, stop it.
Yeah.
No. And so I give them a big list of notes where it's like, no, fix it. And then they turn it in. And it usually is like 3 or 4 times before they really get it mm-hmm. actually right.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to do quality control for a big international bridal company. And my neuroticness kind of really hit home there. I was good at it.
what made you kind of get into that?
When I turned 16, my dad gave me a sewing machine for my birthday and just was very upfront and honest. Like, I can't afford to buy you formals. And so the first dress I ever made, I threw away because it was really, really hideous.
Oh, I'm sad you threw it away. Wouldn't that be just a cool piece to have now at this
now,
point?
Now, at this point, like, yeah. as a professional, it'd be great to be able to point at it and be like, look at how far I've come, because that was hilarious. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was embarrassed, as I probably should have been, and I threw it away.
Mm.
But
then since then?
Since then, by the but that was my sophomore year. In high school, my junior year, I was already making my own stuff that I would actually wear in public. And then by my senior year, I was making friends. And I literally, until after, like, I was having children, and I'd still ask my friends, like, oh, let me make your blessing dress.
Yeah.
And then it I was still, like, begging people, kind of. Uh-huh. And then suddenly I was like, no, I'm really good at this. I'm going to start charging people.
Yeah.
and it kind of...
Hold that thought. I'll make a blessing dress, and you will pay me this amount of money
yes,
to do it
pretty
for
much.
Me. Just to go back to it, so are you telling me, then, if I said I have a vision of a gentleman's suit, and I want it to look like this, and could explain it to you, and we could sit across from each other?
Yes.
You could make something like that?
Yes. If you're willing to pay me.
Yeah, sure.
Yes, I absolutely can.
And is that what a lot of people will come to you to do?
Yes. I do a lot of... I don't love doing costume or custom work, like mm-hmm. Individual pieces, just because people have a hard time understanding that I don't work for $2 an hour.
Right.
So they're like, here, will you make this for $60? And it's like, yes, I would love to spend an entire week working on this. For that, I would love to.
Sure.
So I work with a lot of professional companies. I have a lot of non-disclosures with like local clothing companies, but there is a local clothing company called Albion that they don't mind if I tell people that mm-hmm. I do their stuff.
Cool.
Not all their stuff or anything, but I do several of their patterns. I just finished doing like a whole collection of swimsuits for them. And I've done everything from dancewear, weird adult fetish children's stuff that like it was the weirdest thing I've ever done. And
yeah.
honestly, if you're poor, you will do anything for money.
Yeah.
But it was like
for better and for worse.
It was adults who dress up like babies.
Okay.
It was not anything to do with actual babies.
Right.
It was themselves
just
as grown adults.
Yeah, just weird fetish adult
weird.
Baby.
It
thing.
Was completely weird. And I've never done anything quite as weird as that.
Or ask questions about what exactly will this be used for? It's one
yes.
of those things where you just go,
you know, the less information, the better.
Exactly.
It's like, sure, you want me to make a man's footed onesie for like six foot tall, 300-pound man. Got it. Okay. I can do that.
So yeah. That's a bad thing because I actually own a...
When you want the bib that goes with it with the scallops and a pacifier holder, it's a little weird.
Yeah. No, that I don't have.
No.
But you can do that if people wanted to get in touch with, as you know, they listen to this and go, oh, man, there has been this one thing I've always wanted to do, because that's where my mind is racing right now. I'm like, there.
A lot of startups, a lot of people who just don't have any idea. They don't have any idea. I will take it to a point where you can give it to any factory in the world where it's a completed tech pack. You have specifications of every seam line, the order of putting it together. So I do a spec sheet, an order of operations, exactly how much material it takes to make one. I just prepare the whole thing and, you know, here's a finished sample that you can give to them to compare it to. So that's what makes me employable.
That's awesome.
It's great. Like, I can make other stuff. I design stuff. But fundamentally, I always know how to make it first. And I think that's why I'll never be some crazy avant-garde designer. And why I'll probably never make it on Project Runway is there's just a part of me that's too realistic about it. I know how to make it first. And then I think of, oh, that would be cool. Like, I have this really fun dress I did that was made out of paper for a charity project.
Oh, yeah.
And before I even pitched how to do this dress out of actual paper, I was like, okay, this is the technique we're going to use. This is the shape the pattern pieces are going to be. And sorry.
Oh, you're fine. You're fine.
And that's just like, yes, it was cool and it was crazy and it was avant-garde and it's the coolest thing in my portfolio right now. But first and foremost, I figured out the mechanics of it and then figured out how to make it cool. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like fashion designers come up with the crazy idea and then they kind of work out how to do it. I just work the opposite, which is why I'm a pattern maker.
Yeah. So let's go back then, because I think there's certainly some pretty interesting stuff to find out about your dad, to be like, hey, you know what? Here's a sewing machine and boom, let's make this stuff. So big family, small family?
I am the sixth of seven.
Oh, my gosh. So pretty big.
Fairly big.
Utah County family, right?
I was an Army brat.
Okay.
So I went to high school. Well, most of my education was in Utah, but when I was very young, we moved a lot.
Okay.
So my older sisters, who are 9 and 10 years older than me, they went to several different high schools, but I went to Lake Ridge and then Mountain View, and all of it was all the same. But I do kind of have that Army brat mentality. Like, I don't get super sentimental about things. It's just kind of, I can have the memory of it without actually having, I had a friend, and I hope she never listens to this, but I have said this to her in person. She wanted to hold on to her dad's broken tape gun because it was his.
Right.
And I was just like, it's a broken tape gun.
Yeah.
You need to let it go.
Yeah.
And so I don't get overwhelmingly sentimental about stuff. And I think that's the Army brat in the constant moving. If you're not going to deal with shipping it, it's not worth keeping.
Right. Right. Because you can only, and again, that thing where you can only take so much. So is it dad's broken tape gun, or is it a memory box full of, notes from your dad? Well, obviously you're gonna take the notes.
Yeah, I do have a scrapbook from high school. I kind of realized I wasn't good at scrapbooking because it's all I have to spend an hour or a whole day. I'm marveled at how much time people can spend, and I can't do that. I want a dress at the end. I want something that's crazy and elaborate if I'm gonna spend all day on it. And you're gonna wear it. And then everyone's going to tell me how good I am because I made it.
You will wear this scrapbook.
Darn it.
You will wear this scrapbook.
Well, I did make a dress out of paper, so that's legit.
Right.
Next time I'll just make a dress out of someone's scrapbook.
Listen, I'm not arguing with it. That makes complete sense to me. And a dress out of someone's scrapbook pages
would be awesome. That would be really cool, right?
Right?
Someone who's willing to let me destroy their scrapbook. Though,
yeah,
so
well, yeah.
Kind of.
Well, yeah, you have to have that kind of on that side, but that would be rad.
That would be pretty cool. Okay, now I'm thinking ideas.
Should we stop this for a second?
This is going to be incredibly boring because we're just true story.
So fairly religious grown up, family super conservative?
Not so much.
Okay.
My form of rebelling as a teenager was going to church in one of the pews and really obviously my family's not with me. And it was hey, Papa, guess who went to church without you? Oh, yeah. When my brother turned 12, he asked my older sister if she was nervous when she got the priesthood.
Oh, okay.
So we were super Mormon.
Yeah.
But fortunately, I grew up, I had a really great boyfriend who was actually like, he had a curfew. He had really good parents. My parents were not so much. It's funny because I have a really rocky history with my family, but my father gave me the two things in life that I value the most. Mm-hmm. Besides a love of family, which I've had to learn as an adult, I read constantly. Mm-hmm. And he read to us whenever he was home. He read to us at night.
Really?
And
like what? Like, do you remember some of the books?
Like The Great Brain or Jeremy Thatcher, Dragon Catcher, Hatcher. Sorry, Jeremy Thatcher, Dragon Hatcher. And then, all the Bruno and Boots books by Gordon Corman. Uh-huh. Like anything, Indian in the Cupboard, like all of it. He would read to us at night. And then I remember for a short while, he tried to alternate between like a chapter or a book of the Book of Mormon, mm-hmm. and an actual book. And we're all just like, you need to stop this.
Yeah. Can we get back to the cupboard thing? Cause I don't know who this Alma is. And I don't know why he's fighting all the time. But seriously, can we get back to the cupboard?
Yeah. So I love reading. I try really hard to pass it on to my own children. We're on the fourth Harry Potter right now.
Okay.
Then my sewing machine, which mm-hmm. is literally how I support myself. My father passed away when I was 18, and it's amazing in my life how that has kind of carried forward, and all the other stuff that I have to deal with the pain of my childhood, which wasn't super great.
I don't know that a lot of people were like, it seems like everyone has some sort of
It's amazing when you start talking about it, mm-hmm. and everyone kind of has something. My best friend, I have things that are very easy to identify, like this, my dad hit us a lot. Okay. And that's on the surface, very easy to identify.
Sure.
And I'm not saying it didn't totally screw me up, but I had a friend whose mom made her go to a physical trainer, mm-hmm. because she felt like she was the fat kid. Mm. And she was like a size 6.
Right.
She was just not constantly playing soccer like her sisters.
Right.
And it wasn't until I was kind of an adult looking back and it's like, oh, I may have envied you forever because your family was more affluent than me. And you had parents who really did a lot of great things. But it doesn't mean that there aren't hardships, even though people are trying to do it out of love. Mm-hmm. Everyone has a thing.
Right.
And I think, you know, I was talking to someone who was talking about their child and like, kind of belittling, like, come on, this isn't a problem. You can't really feel bad about this. It's like, I want my kids to know that if they're upset, even if it's trivial, I'm the person they can talk to about it. I'm not, because someday it won't be trivial.
Well, and it's not trivial to them.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing that I've learned in being a parent is that sometimes I can look at, and I guess it's transcended to be in everyone's situation, not just my kids, but like I can look at something and say, why are you getting so worked up about that, whatever that thing is, mm-hmm. that trivial thing? But really, you know, depending on what the thing is and who it is, that can be their world. You know? Like teenage kids, their world is friends. Their world is if they've got a girlfriend or a boyfriend, that's what their world is. So if someone's not talking to them, you can go, listen, they'll talk to you again. It's fine. Yeah. Or you'll find another someone else. But that's not... You know, that's not trivial to them. That's end of the world.
My kids are in elementary school right now, and I literally don't remember most of my elementary school friends or, like, the difficulty I was having because this one kid, like, I was totally the smelly kid who got picked on in school.
No.
And, like, no one explained to me as a child, you don't wear the same shirt, like, 3 days in a row.
Wait, you don't?
I wore the same clothes over and over. Like,
and that,
I was.
And that's bad because
that
come on. Okay.
You can actually kind of get away with it as an adult.
Right? Way more than you can as a kid.
As a kid. It's like, wait a second. Yeah. What's going on here? And so I would get made fun of. And I remember one guy who was genuinely trying to be nice in like sixth grade. He's like, you brush your hair today. It looks really nice. I was like, I brush my hair every day. It just, I've got really long hair that we did never take care of or do anything with. So by the time I got to school, it was ratty and nasty. And so I remember just being, and unfortunately that was like sixth grade.
Right.
And thankfully it was before junior high. And I like learned like, oh, I should like brush it and like maybe put it in something.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I think
a
at the
scrunchie.
Time it's scrunchie.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I need like a really spangly scrunchie to put my hair in. But yeah, I look at my kids now and they're struggling with something and it's like, well, this person didn't play with me today. It's like, believe me, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
I can't just belittle what they're going through.
Right.
Because they're hurting.
Right.
And it's not necessarily about the fact that this is a trivial thing to me as an adult and it will be a trivial thing to them as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts now.
Right.
And, you know, we have to live in the present. If I want my child to embrace his life now and not live for the future, I have to embrace his life now and not say everything, oh, this won't hurt in 20 years, so it doesn't matter now. Yeah.
Yeah, who would have thought that we ever would have gone there?
Sorry.
No, no.
I ramble like crazy.
No, I thank you for that a lot.
It's better than the one, like, monosyllabic answer.
Yeah. Yeah, way better than, yeah.
Yeah, I sewed when I was 16. Move on, next question.
I think it speaks tremendously to your character to know that, obviously, what little you've let us know about your dad, but that you don't just kind of compartmentalize him in that, you know, he's my dad, this is what he did, and I hate him, and you know what I'm saying? But
That's actually very rare. My husband and I are foster parents, and I expected going into it to learn things about, like, people who have bad parents hate their parents. And that's just not it.
Okay.
It's called disorganized attachment.
Okay.
And the person who comforts you is the person who scares you.
Hmm.
Because as much as he was the one who was hurting me, he's the one who I gave a hug to and told him I loved every night.
Hmm.
It didn't matter that earlier that day he dragged me to my room by my hair.
Ugh.
So it's really weird because, you know, when you talk to people who are, they love their abuser, it's because they love them, and it's really, really hard. And I'm so grateful to be in a marriage now where that's not an issue. And my father died when I was 18. I'm 31 now. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I've just had so much time to heal and move on, and I'm okay. And I'm grateful that it happened to me instead of maybe someone else who couldn't handle it, because I do seem okay as an adult. And that's why my husband and I have chosen to be foster parents, so that we can show someone, yes, your childhood can absolutely suck, mm-hmm. but you can choose to not be the person who's constantly dwelling on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a really hard time when I talk to people and they don't seem to have moved on from a trauma of, like,
right.
No, you were like 19.
Right. And that was 20 years ago.
It's like, I'm really sorry that Christmas was horrible.
Right.
But you're literally tearing up over it. Like, this is something that you need to accept. It may have really sucked,
mm-hmm.
but find a way to work through it, because you can't. Like, I mean, after my dad died, everyone would ask, like, are you going to be okay? Mm-hmm. It's like, my other choice is a razor blade. Yes, I'll be okay.
Yeah, right.
And then I kind of thought about it after, and it's like, no, there's some people who just live in that forever.
Right.
I don't want to be identified personally as, you know, the girl whose dad died when she was fairly young. Like, right. 18 is not technically that young when you're 18,
mm-hmm.
but now that I'm 31 and I meet, like, 18-year-olds, I'm like, wow, you really are dumb and don't know what you're talking about. And I remember people saying that to me,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, I'm a grown-up. I know what I'm talking about. No, I wasn't.
Well, and it's also this idea of, to me, it's this idea of progression, which, you know, I truly believe to be kind of the point of here and living, this
Absolutely.
Idea of progression. So if I'm living 10 years ago and going, oh man, I wish that, like, my parents got divorced, for example, that was where my childhood was really mm-hmm. difficult. If I would have been like, oh no, they need to get back together and lived in that.
Like, you're constantly parent trapping them.
You know what I'm saying? Like, let's get together. Yeah. What are you guys doing here? What's going on? We joke about that. I never sang the song and tried to get him arranged on a date, but I did have and held onto it for a long time. And then at some point went, okay, my dad is happier now. My mm-hmm. mom is happier now. And it took a long time.
Well, it's got to be devastating, because your world is based on, my parents love me eternally,
mm-hmm.
and they love each other eternally. If you can break that parent bond, that's got to mess. I don't know. My parents were screwed up enough that getting divorced wasn't even an option. My mom lives in the state mental hospital right now.
Okay.
For paranoid schizophrenia.
Okay.
So it was really weird, and my dad at one point was going to divorce my mom and was told, basically, if you leave her because she's sick, it's a dick move. Like, don't do it.
Yeah.
And
total dick move. I mean, maybe that's a little bit brash for that, but think about how you feel too in that. It's like, I can't handle, you know, I know we said for sickness and health and better or worse, but
yeah,
but hey, just kidding.
Well,
see you later.
It's hard, because growing up, I always wished that he would have divorced her at the time.
Mm-hmm.
and that she wouldn't have been a part of my life, both because she would have gotten the care that she needed, mm-hmm. and she wouldn't have been like the crazy lady walking around the neighborhood, like snapping and clapping and talking to pixies. Mm. That would have been really nice to not have that on me.
Right.
But as an adult, I look at it and I kind of respect the fact that even to the end, he loved her.
Right.
And I don't know, I reflect on it kind of strangely because my childhood was so weird. I do have to respect the fact that even though she was mentally ill, and I feel like he did believe that he can, her situation contributed to one of my brother's deaths, I think that he still absolutely loved my mom. And that's kind of telling to who they're going to be after, because yeah. someday my mom won't have schizophrenia.
Right.
And someday my dad won't be like massively suffering from PTSD. Mm-hmm. And it's just amazing how much I can judge them in this life for their choices, but how much of that is just like my son is ADHD and there's so much that's just kind of out of his control. Like he can't walk to the end of the driveway unless he's on medicine. Like if he's not on his medicine, I'll like, hey Liam, go get your bike. And he'll walk halfway down and he'll kind of get lost and be like, Mom, what was I doing?
Yeah.
And it's like, I have to wonder, and this is why God's plan is so amazing, is I don't have to be their judge.
Right.
And
shouldn't be.
Yeah. And that's amazing. And I actually read this amazing book by a local LDS author.
Gotta quote it. Gotta say the name of the book.
Well, it's The Hollow City by Dan Wells.
Okay.
It's amazing. And I read his I'm Not a Serial Killer books, which are so good. You should totally read them. And then actually, I just finished listening to the second one on the audio version, and mm-hmm. Kirby Hayborn reads it.
Okay.
And it's really weird because mentally, I see Kirby Hayborn as like the guy from the RM, and he's talking about dreaming, like, I'm going to embalm my girlfriend. Like, it's really weird because he's reading a book from the perspective of a teenage psychopath. Like, uh-huh. it's very strange. But he wrote this other book from the perspective of a paranoid schizophrenic, and I just spent half the book bawling my eyes out.
Oh, my gosh.
And now that we're dealing with all this stuff with my mom in the hospital, it's like, I am so grateful because I can't tell you how many times I've gone to the temple or just prayed about forgiving my mom. Mm-hmm. Because the perspective that was given to me as a child was, if your mom loved you enough, she would work harder and be better. Hmm. And it wasn't explained to me in the mental illness kind of setting.
Hmm.
And so I always hated her. And I don't mean disliked her. I mean, I hated her.
Because you felt like she could be making choices that would make things
like
better.
I felt like if someone really loved me. And so, I mean, it's just every time I saw her like sitting on the couch or wandering the neighborhood or anything, it was like if she loved me enough, she would get over it.
Mm-hmm.
And she would just be the mom who would show up at a swim meet or be the mom who would come to a band concert or whatever was going on. She just didn't try enough was what I always thought. And then I read this book and I realized it wasn't necessarily a choice for her.
Right.
It wasn't, it was just absolutely amazing. And I just feel like after years of praying about it and years of going to the temple and trying to find a way, because hating her is like drinking poison and expecting sure. to hurt her.
Right.
It's just going to poison
me.
Oh,
no, wait. It's just affecting me.
Why is stabbing my own arm hurting me?
Yeah. Like, wait, this doesn't hurt you, Mom? I'm stabbing really deep. This doesn't hurt you? Okay.
And so I just find that, you know, I feel like my Heavenly Father gave it to me in the form that I needed, which was for me a book, because I mean,
that's how he has access to it.
Yeah. That's how, wouldn't it be great if he'd put it in the scripture somewhere? That's a book. I could read that.
Right.
But for me, putting it in the absolute perspective of someone going through it was just amazing. And I am actively dealing, like I have a meeting once a month with her care team and we go through all this stuff. And I'm just so grateful that Heavenly Father found a way to get to me, to teach me to forgive her over something that wasn't her fault anyway.
Can you talk about your brother?
He died before I was born.
Okay.
He drowned. There was a canal by our house. And from what I understand, again, I wasn't born yet.
Sure.
But she just kind of wasn't watching him. And he was gone for a couple hours. And then in that time of like, and I totally, like having been raised by her, there was no parental involvement at all.
Right.
Like leaving us alone with mama was the same as just leaving us alone.
Yeah.
And probably more dangerous, because at one point, like, she started ripping hair out of my younger brother's head, saying, you know, get the pixies out. I've got to get them out. And that particular experience I wonder what in her mind was actually going on, because for us, she was just ripping hair out of my brother's head.
Right.
And so she was an interesting person to be left with a lot.
It's an amazing kind of circle, though, that now as you talk about meeting with and providing care and forgiving and everything like that, it's such an interesting path that life, you know, at one point you needed her to take care of you and to do all that. And now it's cycled back to where she needs you.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting, and it's a little painful, as much as I want to say, like, everything is warm and fuzzy. It's a little painful still, because there's still moments where it's like, oh, you want me to make sure you have a place to live? You have food in your house? Let's go back. And I have to really stamp that out and be like, no, that's not who I am. Because I think every day we choose who we're going to be. And yes. I'm not going to choose to be a hateful person. Because I'm the one who then is a hateful person, and that's just stupid.
Me being hateful, Mom, does that hurt you? No, it hurts me. I'm stabbing in here.
No, and I used to hate the song "I Am a Child of God," because there's the line he's
given me an earthly home with parents kind and dear.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I still get a little emotional about that, and I still kind of am like, wait a second, where's my earthly home with parents kind and dear? And I do have to remember the other people in my life. Like, I dated a guy, and then I dear John him on his mission to elope with my husband.
Oh!
Yeah, oh, yeah. I was really upset about losing her, though, his mom. I still talk to her. Mm-hmm. Like, is that a little weird? I've been married 11 years, and
bit.
It's like, hey, can I talk to my other mother-in-law, please? Like, I don't want to talk to him. He lives in Seattle. His wife and I are actually kind of friends. But I just, because they came to the store to, like, buy dresses.
Sure.
It was weird. It was a good weird, but it was still, like, I'll admit, this is why I told my nieces and nephews, I was like, don't make out with people too much. Because then you have to talk to their spouses someday. And I'm not going to lie. You're just thinking, I've made out with your spouse. It's weird.
Yeah.
And so I didn't understand from that perspective as a child, or as like a teenager who was like, I'm going to kiss this boy on a roof. It'll be great. And now it's like,
that sounds cool, though.
It was pretty fun. Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
I'm not going to lie. The roof makes it cool.
Well, it's not even like the date was that exciting, but it sounds cool.
Sure.
And so I can like now tell people, be like, oh, yeah. The roof kiss.
You see that Ruth over there, kids?
But it's really
long
weird.
Long time ago, me and not your dad. Too funny.
Yeah, true story. It was actually kind of hard to come up with kids' names because we had to find names of boys that I hadn't made out with.
Oh.
Yeah.
Let's get into current situation, how
Sorry.
You met your husband and and fostering. Hold on. We're going to take a break for a second, and we'll come back and we'll talk about it. Okay?
Awesome sauce.
Hi, this is Dan, the Laptop Man from PC Laptops in Salt Lake City. A lot of people ask me if a gaming console or a gaming PC is better. Gaming consoles do one thing. They play games and usually come with a one-year warranty. A desktop or laptop computer from PC Laptops plays games and allows you to learn real career skills like Photoshop, video production, and business skills so you can make a living with technology. Technology that makes you money. Amazing. PC Laptops desktop computers start from only $799, hand-built right here in Utah with a lifetime parts and labor warranty. You simply can't find anything like this backed by an amazing lifetime warranty anywhere. It's downright impossible. Please visit any one of our locations right now or call us at 1-877-596-SAVE or check us out at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com. Desktop computers covered forever with a lifetime warranty starting at $799. Because at PC Laptops, we love you.
All right. So I like this because you think how I do, which is like, hey, we're talking about what's in that cup. Wait a minute. That's a tablecloth over
there. I call
it
shiny object syndrome.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think other people would call it other things.
They would say we need Adderall.
I know. Yeah. And if you got some.
But then the interview would be really boring.
Yeah.
You'd be like really focused.
I'm really focused right now on this. How did you meet your husband? You eloped with your husband.
Yes.
First of all, that sounds pretty cool.
I was like the worst Mormon ever.
Okay.
Because we were totally like we met at an LDS singles activity.
Okay. So that's not the worst Mormon
no,
ever.
No.
Okay.
We actually. So I met him and I tried to set him up with my roommate.
Okay.
Because I, of course, had a missionary that I was going to be like strong and faithful to.
I'll never date anyone. Ooh, who's this?
I'd actually made him a shirt on his hump day that said, my girlfriend's still waiting and yours.
Yeah.
And I was married by the time he got it.
Oh.
Yeah, because we eloped 6 weeks later and they were like redoing the postal service in Hungary. So yeah, it was kind of a nightmare.
Sad.
And I've always kind of wondered what happened, but it's not like you can ask that.
Sure.
Like, did you just burn the shirt?
Right.
Just please tell me.
Right.
That it, yeah. And so,
an effigy. He's just sobbing.
Yeah. No. So my husband and I were the only two who showed up for an LDS singles ward activity.
The only two.
We were supposed to do like frisbee golf or something,
okay.
And we were in St. George, and it was just like we showed up and. Okay, this is what happened. I was like, well, I'm going to go home and eat ramen because I am poor.
Right.
And he was like, well, why don't we just go get something to eat? I was like, did you hear the poor part?
Yeah.
And he's like, I'll pay for you. I'm like, you can't pay for me unless it's a date. And he's like, and he's rolling his eyes. He's like, fine. Would you like to go on a date with me? I was like, it's kind of last minute.
Oh, geez. And so, you're like, normally I don't go on dates so last minute. If you want to ask me on a date, we can go 2 days from now. But
yeah,
I'm
we can
not
go to Wingers as long as you promise to take me to a roof after.
Yeah.
No, so we did. We went on our first date to Wingers, and he and I hung out like
did
every
you get
day.
The mud pie?
I don't think I did. Because if you're dating, you don't want to be like, oh, I don't eat dessert. I don't.
Yeah, I don't know. Every girl, it seems like that I ever took out was I was like, let's get an appetizer and an entree and a dessert. And I'm like, what? This meal could have been $10, but for some reason, I just got out of here at $50, and I'm looking at you.
So we did that, and then basically on our third date, he proposed, and
oh
I said
gosh.
Yes. But
was
it was
how I've not really ever talked to anyone really specifically about that. That seems scary to me.
Oh. Like, that's stupid, right? That's
right.
Terrifying.
Like, at that point, you don't know if, like, he even has a police record or a place
right?
to live.
No.
Or
like, no credit check.
Right.
No, like...
Not that I did any of those things before
no,
I got
never.
Married, but you kind of get a sense of people.
As a 31-year-old person who, like, knows how bad things can go, mm-hmm. It's like, I totally lucked out because Scott is an amazing human being. He is a way better human being than I am.
Oh, like, yeah. He'd be the first to tell you that.
He I'm really is, I'm actually.
I'm
like, I'll make that joke and he'll just nod his head. He's like yeah,
yep,
better.
Yep. Don't forget it, babe.
So basically so dating.
So was it a love at first sight?
Not
thing?
At all. Again, I thought he was too short for me.
Okay.
And, well, I didn't say that, but I was trying to set him with my roommate, and in the process of trying to set him with my roommate, I was like, oh, he's an amazing person. Like, he talks to his parents, like, he's in the process of buying a house, like, he's got his life together, he mm-hmm. knows what he's doing, I don't have to live in a basement apartment in Provo for several years.
We can eat at Wingers, and I don't have to eat ramen.
Winner. And so we actually played Marriage Chicken the night Harry Potter number 5 came out.
Okay.
We're hanging out in St. George, which, of course, has a very exciting nightlife.
Sure.
And we have to stay up till midnight for me to get Harry Potter number 5. And
what's Marriage Chicken?
Oh, okay. I'll have to explain this. So we used to drive down to Mesquite all the time to go bowling because it was cheaper at the gas price at the time to drive to Mesquite and go bowling than it was to go bowling in St. George.
Okay.
And so he's like, let's just go.
St. George is southern Utah, though.
Yeah.
I should point out to
Sorry.
People who may not know
it's
that.
It's 90 minutes from Vegas.
Yeah.
So, and Mesquite is half an hour away from St. George, an hour away from Vegas. So he's just rolling his eyes. He's like, let's just go to Vegas and get married. I was like, yeah, sure. Okay. And I'm fairly certain we were just going to go bowling in Mesquite until mm-hmm. I told him we're not actually going to Vegas to get married. And then he proceeded to drive to Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And all the way up until he, like, honestly, there's pictures on the wall of, like, Vegas impersonators standing with couples. Like, uh-huh. It was really cheesy wedding chapel. He pulls out his wallet. I was like, no, what are you doing? So I lost that bout of Marriage Chicken.
Uh-huh.
And then we got engaged later because on the drive home, we had, like, this really sweet moment where I was like, how far would you have taken it? He's like, Becky, I've already decided. Like, I could marry you.
Yeah.
It's just semantics
just
at this point.
I'm just waiting for you, pal. I was ready.
Well, yeah, no, when he told me he loved me, I told him to shut up and that's not what you tell people. And then, like, 3 days later, I'm like, I love you too. Okay. And so with marriage, it was the same thing where he's like, no, I'd marry you. And I was like, shut up. And I didn't talk to him because I was reading Harry Potter. And then afterwards, I was like, I'll marry you too. And so,
hold on. I'm almost done with this chapter. He who shall not be named. Give me 1 minute and then we will get to
this. And of all the Harry Potter books, like number 5 is the romantic one?
Right.
No. So we get engaged and we set a temple date. We were going to get married on Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Okay,
so we could have a pirate themed wedding reception.
Yes. Yeah.
Arg, matey, well, welcome to me reception. Right. Like, that was totally what we were going to do. And in the process, when he actually proposes with the ring, we were talking about that. And I love our proposal. And every time I tell it to a girl, they're like, that's the worst proposal
I'm gonna
ever.
I'm going to love this. I can already tell.
And guys are like, that is amazing. Like, how did he plan that?
Yeah.
So we went on a hike and, we're sitting on this rock, just like looking at the majesty of the mountains. And and we're talking about our pirate themed wedding reception on September 19th.
Sure.
And I was like, but we can't do that. And he's like, why not? Because we're not having a reception. Why not? Because we're not getting married. Why not? Because you haven't asked. And he got down on a ring, or got down on his knee and pulled out a ring.
Yeah.
And I was like, how do you plan that? That was amazing.
Awesome.
So, but then
he's like, I'm really glad that happened because I was really tired of carrying that ring around
well,
with me.
Well, he'd gotten it that day and he's like, yeah, if it comes up in conversation.
Oh my gosh. Good for Scott.
I know. He's
he's a good guy.
He's way cooler than me.
Yeah.
He's amazing.
Stop it.
And so we were engaged already and he had called, like, we'd set the appointment with the temple.
Uh-huh.
And then just honestly, we were just hanging out in St. George and I was really stressing out because I didn't have any family. Like, I'd already been told by every person, my family member, every family member I had, like, we're not coming to your temple marriage.
Like, because they can't get in.
They didn't have recommends.
Okay.
I've got sister, my one sister who is actively LDS, has 14 children. I think she was like actively pregnant with number 9 or
oh
something.
Oh my gosh.
And she could have come out to the Manti Temple, but she also could have, like, broken water in the Manti Temple.
Right,
and I feel like that's crossing a line.
Right. Well,
like,
yeah, sure. Okay.
It's recarpeting the celestial rooms or the ceiling rooms.
Yeah, it's expensive. I mean, they do it every once in a while, but certainly you don't want to encourage the process.
So that's my family. Like, my parents were not coming because my mom, you know, not my father had died. My mom lives in a mental institution.
Right.
And all of my siblings said they weren't coming.
Right.
And my in-laws were kind of like, why exactly is your family not coming? And I'm trying to explain. And they're like, why don't you just invite your mom? I'm like, in a straitjacket? Like,
yeah.
And so it was just really, really stressful. And my husband, you know, he's just like, let's just go to Vegas and get married. I was like, rock on. Let's do it. We played marriage chicken again, but neither of us chickened out.
Yeah.
So that's we got married. We had a temple date. And it's really funny because there's kind of a huge stigma in the church if you do elope. And
sure.
So we went in to our singles ward bishop.
Because you're being selfish.
After, right.
Yeah.
So we went into our bishop.
So they say, I don't believe that, but that's the accusation that they're saying you're being selfish.
So he asked for Scott's temple recommend immediately. He's like, Scott, I'm going to need your temple recommend. And then he gets to talking to us. He's like, oh, I got to get this back to you. Because everyone assumes. And so we went through and I...
Assumes I, what you... Are you saying that you just went to do it so you guys could have sex?
Yes.
Okay.
Or that we had beforehand and it's like, well, we're not going to get married in the temple now.
Yeah, so we might as well do
and
it.
And so...
But it's like, no, we just wanted to get this done because it's less stressful. Am I understanding?
I wanted to have a wedding. Or I wanted to have a marriage, not a wedding. And
right.
I feel like so many stresses related to a wedding should not be how you start a marriage. So for Scott and I, it was perfect.
No, it's a marriage or a wedding, I should say, is nothing about the two people that are actually getting married.
No, we got paid $2,000 not to have a wedding reception.
Yeah.
We bought a fridge with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but that's the way that it should be because you know who the party for the wedding is, who the wedding and wedding reception is for? Not the bride and groom. It's for mom and dad.
Well,
it's for siblings. It's for... you know, religious rites. It's not, it has literally so very little to do with actually what the bride and what the groom want or the bride and groom in general.
I completely agree.
I think.
Well, and so for me, like when I worked,
I'll get emails for that, I'm sure. Ours was beautiful and you don't know. Okay, I know.
Well, I just find that, you know, as I'm stressing about it and I'm worrying about it and it's just becoming less and less worth it. Like, let's just go to Vegas and get married.
Right.
And I was wearing like my roommate's shirt, which I now have had to keep because it's my wedding dress and like jeans. And, you know, if
you
I
got married in a t-shirt and jeans,
I did.
That's awesome.
I'm a clothing designer.
That is so rad. You want to see the pattern for this t-shirt I just got married in? Check that out.
No. Awesome. And it wasn't until I worked it at the bridal company that I was like, I am not missing anything because there's a part of me like I'd already bought the fabric. I was going to make it. Mm-hmm. But what's funny is my husband didn't even know that I sewed when I got married.
Oh, really?
He had no idea.
Well, he didn't have a chance to really talk to you.
I know,
time you
right?
guys courted each other. You like Harry Potter? Let's get married. Okay, cool. I love you, too.
He's never read a Harry Potter book. He's not big into reading.
And it's working?
It is. It was a bit rocky. I was like, just read it. And he's like, I don't want to.
So then let me ask you this. So you get married, and then you're like, hey, we just eloped. And then you come back, and you guys are foster parents now.
Several years later.
Conversations, though, about...
I'm a horrible pregnant lady.
Okay.
Like, I turn into... Like, some people have postpartum depression.
Right.
After I have a baby, I'm like, oh, honey, you got me a drink of water. You are an amazing human being, and God loves you. Like, I am so nice and so kind. Mm-hmm. While I'm pregnant, though... Like, I just turn into a crazy person who, like, enjoys messing with people. Like, I already am a little weird. Like, I won't put a no soliciting sign on my front door because I love when they come and I can just mess with them.
It's why I don't put my phone number on do not contact list, because I'll seriously try and keep the people on the phone for the longest time, not talking about what they want to talk about.
Yeah. No, it's, I get a really sick thrill. I can't wait till I'm an old lady who's like yelling at people for getting on their lawn.
Yeah.
Like, I want a wig made up with curlers. So if they're near, it's like, oh, let's get, okay.
Here we go. I'm old.
No, I really get a sick thrill out of, you know, antagonizing people. I'm a great foster parent.
And so the husband was like, we're not doing this again?
Even our third daughter was not planned. Our third child, I should say. She's our first daughter. And at one point, like, I am just off the walls, like, just screaming and crazy. And I was like, you're excited about this? And he's like, well, not this part.
Yeah.
And I am not a nice pregnant person, but I like the idea of having a big family. And so we opted to keep our biological children kind of small. We have three. We have two boys and a girl.
Awesome.
Who the girl is just totally wins everything. And I literally had to start a princess company for her. Like, it's all her.
We'll get there.
Sorry. So, yeah, then my, I was somewhere and I saw the little heart gallery card.
Okay.
And it was about this girl who's probably aged out by now because it's such a long process. And I saw it and she actually kind of looked like me. Mm-hmm. And I just showed it to my husband and I said, we need to help. Because if you live in a society that believes that abused children should be taken away from homes, you need to give them safe places to go.
Right.
And not just people who are in it for money. And we actually haven't had our first placement yet. We're in it for adopting. And we met the girl that we're hoping to adopt in August. And then we met her younger sister in October. And we're interested in taking both of them. And they're both teenage girls who've had a really rough life. Mm. And, you know,
just looking for some hope, right?
That's
it. That's all that it really
is. They just need someone who's not in it for temporary. And I remember what it's like to spend Christmas at a taco place. Mm. I know what it's like to fly across the country and have no one to call to say you're safe. And all we want to be is just a long-term, and we can't do it for everyone, but we can take these two kids and say, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter if you just have a bad day, like, there are so many times as an adult, I've just wanted a parent to call, but I don't have anyone in my life that I can call and just say, Mom, I need you. Mm-hmm. Like, and thank goodness my older sister has a bajillion children so that I could ask every child question ever. Like, is it normal? It's like, yes, that is.
Oh, yeah. Number 2, 7, and 19 do that. Yeah, that's perfectly normal.
And so we chose to become foster parents after a lot of prayer and discussion. And we thought about it before we pursued or even made the first phone call for about a year.
Mm.
And we had done most of the paperwork and we were just, we had a few hiccups. And so financially, we were wondering if we could really do it. I mean, we're taking on two teenage girls.
Sure.
And we were watching this the last October conference. And no, it was the April conference, sorry. And
April 2014?
Yeah, April 2014. And my husband showed me the video of this one particular girl who was waiting for a family. And I just started bawling. I was like, how come we haven't finished it up? So we turned in all of our paperwork and we are awaiting family right now. But...
How come it takes so long? Do you know?
It took a long time for us because, I mean,
I don't mean that part, but I mean where you say you've met the kids and you're like, we're interested. Why does it take so long?
It would be different if we were talking about a temporary placement, and it would be different if we were talking about younger people.
Okay.
But when a kid has already had a failed adoption, it is the slowest toe in the water kind of thing. It's like dating a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And when we met them, we had to be very, we had a 5-page document we had to sign that says, you will not promise this child anything. You will not tell them you are a prospective parent. You will not tell them this. You will not tell them this. So we meet them and we have color coded text. So we know the kids that are waiting, but they don't exactly, they just see us as adults with three kids. Mm-hmm. Now, I think looking at us, it's pretty clear that you can see a biological resemblance, mm-hmm. especially my oldest son and I, like, he just looks like me.
He's like, I'm a pattern maker too.
Well, it's adorable.
Squirrel.
Yeah, it's definitely a strange experience because, like, the background on my phone is that paper dress. Mm-hmm. And she saw it because we were talking and I went to check something out in my phone and she saw it. She's like, oh my gosh, what's that from? And she wanted to know the story. And she immediately says, will you make my prom dress? And I just signed this document saying I will promise absolutely nothing. And whether she becomes our child or not, or if another family selected, that's fine.
Right.
I am absolutely willing to make this girl a prom dress. And I can't tell her that. And her caseworker is in this conversation and has asked me like six times, or her, she has. She's like, will you make, just please, just come on. And I'm like, I don't know what to say because I can't say no because the answer is yes.
Yeah.
But I just said, no, I can't promise you that. So it's really gut wrenching because you, like, I met the younger girl. And even though we haven't said anything, the kids are not stupid.
Right.
And so the older girl leans over and kind of whispers something in her ear. And she immediately is like, my birthday's this day. My favorite color's this. This is my favorite song. I live near you. And it just, I just bawled in the car on the way home because this girl just wants someone. And I remember feeling that way. And sometimes I still do. There are absolute moments that you just want a parent who is there. And thank goodness I know I have a Heavenly Father, because I don't know how I would get through those moments without that. I remember receiving my endowment and I just never felt more like a child of God than. And I don't even remember specifics about it. I just remember that feeling of knowing that Heavenly Father knows who I am and He cares about me and He loves me. And if I have ever had one of those moments where I just feel so frustrated, I'm so grateful that I have that moment to lean on when I do have a moment of doubt, to know without any reservations that I am a beloved child of God. And I'm so grateful for that. And I feel so much sorrow. Like my son, he was 8 years old at the time and he was just kind of having a moment. And he's like, I don't know if I should have even been born. And he was just like having a really macabre, like,
sure.
And I just kind of, we were driving at the time, so I couldn't stop or anything, but I told him the experience of him, the impression that it was time for him to come into our family. And it was very specifically, there is a spirit ready for your home, whether you're ready for him or not.
Yeah, he's
ready
on his way.
And so I told him that experience and I just am grateful that I could give him some of that because it's been such a comfort to me. So if he ever is feeling frustrated, like, oh, mom hates me or whatever, hopefully he can look back at that moment and know that he's absolutely welcome in our home and he was wanted and prayed for and loved. And I never really feared any kind of like miscarriage or any kind of, maybe I should have, but I mean, I knew that this was the spirit that was ready to come. So thank goodness.
Yeah. A couple loose ends things that I want to ask. What does your husband do?
He designs conveyor systems.
Cool. Okay.
We actually kind of have the same job. Uh-huh. And the job that I last worked at Moss, where I designed the fabric structure cover for like large event structures. Like if someone wanted an airplane for a trade show.
Okay.
I created the fabric that went around it.
Okay.
And Scott and I were reading the description. He's like, you know, I could do this job too. And who'd have thought, like,
oh yeah, I'd do it better. Whoa, take that, Scott.
It was actually more like your job pays you more.
Yeah.
But it's very interesting to have two completely different things. But he taught me how to do all the digital CAD. Mm-hmm. And so to take like ISO and like turn it into a very technical thing, that was all him. Like he's
awesome.
Really, really amazing person. And I probably don't tell him enough. Like, it's one of those things I'll tell other people how awesome he is, mm-hmm. and then I'll actually talk to him and be like,
he's like, I'm not even sure she likes me at all.
Like, you just have communication issues. but yeah, he's really smart. Like, he's way smarter than me. Hmm. And I think he feels really insecure because he's not, like, he doesn't love reading, and our culture really kind of puts a heavy prize on, like, if you are smart, you're well read and you're all this. And so I think he's always felt a little insecure, but he like, we're in the process of building this giant castle for Comic-Con. And it was like, honey, we're building a castle. And he's like, you mean I, no, honey, we're not. And we're building it. It's happening. But it's all because he's like, okay, this is what we're doing. And this is the technique. And this is like, he just, it's not like anyone teaches you how to build rock walls out of styrofoam.
Right.
But he did it. So I'm, he's way smarter than me. Just saying that.
It's not a competition. Other loose ends. You mentioned the fairy tailored. You only mentioned it briefly, but I want to make sure that people know about this because I think this is awesome.
So they're little girl princess aprons. Well, they're apron style dresses. Whenever I say aprons, people are like, for cooking?
Yeah.
No, they...
Where do I put my spatula?
It's not that kind of thing. That's actually that a huge suggestion I get all the time. They're like, you should make them for cooking.
You, you really
like,
should. Why? Why not? I know it's basic.
No, it's I feel like one of the places that people, creative people really go wrong is they like branch out in every direction.
Oh, that's true, right? Because we go, oh, I like this, I love this, I love this, I love this, I love this.
Yeah, I have to avoid professional shiny object syndrome.
Yeah.
And so I get people all the time who like pitch their ideas. And my response really is, you should totally do that. And they're looking at me like I've like slapped them in the face.
Yeah.
And it's like,
so you didn't think it was a good idea.
No, it's
okay.
Like, but I have my good idea.
Yeah.
We had a store over the holidays, which we'd really still have if I wasn't the best salesperson, and I don't want to work 72 hours anymore. Like, it was really hard because I'm not a salesman the whole time. I just wanted to get on my computer and be like, hey, let's make that paper dress again. Let's do the scrapbook dress.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I love what I do, and I love that it's a creative thing, and we're working on our own characters, and I'm working with an author to create our own stories, but basically they're apron style dresses. They go on top of whatever they're wearing. They're machine wash and dry. They grow with them. And ironically, I made these for my daughter who was turning 3 at the time. And I was like, oh, I'm really smart. If I do it this way, I'll never have to make it again.
Yeah.
Never again will I have to make a princess dress. So I make them on a constant basis. But
Frozen, the number one?
I can't legally say yes to that. It is an ice queen or a snow queen, which, of course, is only inspired by the classic tale of by Hans Christian Andersen.
Okay, I'll say it. So yes, that I.
It was until Halloween.
Okay,
and then I think everyone who was obsessed with it had gotten one, and we went right to like Rapunzel.
Okay,
Rapunzel. I have like 6 left. I have to get a ton more made, but that's a whole other thing.
As we've been workshopping this scrapbook dress, what if? And this is a thing that I just had in my mind. If you can make copies of the scrapbook pages and then screen print them onto...
Like a dye sublimation process?
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
And then make the dress out of that.
I feel like someone...
If you make this, I'm claiming 6% of it at least for that idea.
You can
idea.
Have a Snickers bar.
Yes.
Done. Yes.
No, if you do something with it. But I think that would be amazing.
No, that's... I used to work at Moss and they did dye sublimation on all that fabric. And I was so sad to leave because it's like, but I want the dye sublimation. Like, I did this crazy elaborate butterfly
dress. I don't even know what that means, but I know it's exactly what I'm saying that
it's
I think
you,
it is.
You take like a plain white fabric and then they print it on something and then you heat it and it just magically becomes printed. There's other things, but I really don't want to get technical and have someone be like, that's not the real process.
Because I fell asleep just a second ago.
Dye sublimation
from something. Let's just get the scrapbook pages on the fabric.
But see, I totally geek out. I love this stuff. Like at Moss, they had this thing called a zipper ripper. And you could put it in and it would rip off all the excess teeth on a zipper so it was the exact length you wanted.
Wow.
I want one so bad. I have no need for one at all.
You hear that, Scott?
For Christmas and anniversaries, he totally gets me like not the romantic.
Not
like,
the zipper rippers?
No. Well, one year he got me a Doctor Who like piggy bank kind of thing, and you lift up the top and it like makes the sound, and I start crying. I was like, you get me. Because I feel like Valentine's Day is my least favorite holiday, and I mean that genuinely and in a happy, safe, wonderful relationship. I just think it's so false. And so my only thing is, if I'm working in an office, my flowers better be bigger than anyone else's.
Right.
Because you love me either way. I just want other people to be jealous. Let's be real as what Valentine's Day is.
Valentine's Day, literally created by Hallmark. A holiday. No, it's not a joke.
That's
literally
amazing.
Is a holiday created by, if it wasn't Hallmark, it was American Greetings or it was one of those. It was a holiday where people said, we need to create, or it might have been the diamond industry. All I know is that it's a manufactured holiday wherein commerce for those types of things was encouraged.
You are going to get so many comments about people who love Valentine's Day.
Listen, love it. No, but love it like you love it. Recognize that it's a false holiday, and if you're going to do it, you go to the nines. Otherwise, don't bother.
Well, to the nines, like I just feel like I love frozen lasagna after it's been like cooked, refrigerated, and cooked again. Like, yes. I love the microwave after.
Yes.
I am disgusting, but that is my favorite.
No, it's the only way to eat lasagna. Because right out of the oven, not great. The stuff hasn't blended yet.
Yeah, I feel like meshing has to happen. Yeah. And so whenever I'm like really, there's been a few times where I'm really frazzled and stressed, and he like brings home a frozen lasagna, and it's like, I just love you so much. And that means more to me than a bunch of roses on a day where you have to give me roses.
Right.
Because I can't eat roses.
Normally these roses are $90 or $40, but because it's today, they're $95. So I hope you enjoy that $55 of nothing.
Do you know how much $55 in lasagna? That's amazing. I want $55 in lasagna. Like, get me.
I love it. Before I let you go, we ask three questions of everyone that steps into the cultural hall. So I'll ask you those questions now.
Awesome.
Number one, do you have a calling in your ward? And if so, what is it?
When will this air?
It will air. I don't know. Let's see. We'll see.
After the first Sunday in February?
Let's see.
So now I have to
edit all this out. let's just say currently.
Currently, well, the call has been extended and I have offered or accepted.
Okay. You can tell it. Why couldn't you tell
it? Because it hasn't been announced and the rest of the presidency hasn't been figured out.
Okay.
But I'm the first counselor in the primary presidency.
Cool. Okay. If you could pick a calling for yourself, what would you pick?
I think I just got released from it.
Which is?
I was the nursery ukuleleist.
There's a ukuleleist?
Well, there is in my ward.
Okay.
I was actually in charge of nursery, but I brought my ukulele every week.
Is your ukulele in the car?
No. If you leave it in the car, it's really bad for it.
Right, because the strings and all that stuff. But I was hoping that maybe... I didn't know about this ukulele. This was a late addition.
I'm sorry. I've got two ukuleles. I've got Penelope.
Okay.
And Luke. And I do prefer Luke. Uh-huh. Luke the uke.
Well, who wouldn't?
Yeah.
Over.
He's a concert ukulele with a drop G.
Uh-huh.
And I love him.
A concert ukulele with a drop G.
It's a Fender concert ukulele with a drop G. I love it.
I know that there are people that are listening that are going, I get what she's talking about, but to me it sounds like...
So I went to... I love my ukulele, and I actually played the tuba for a long time, and that's the guy who recommended me for this. I played tuba in the marching band with him.
Uh-huh.
But you can't really take a tuba anywhere.
No.
It's not very convenient.
That's super portable. Hey, I'm going to,
Hey, let's go camping. I'll bring my tuba. I play the ukulele because it's very transportable. I can, like, sing songs to my kids at night.
Yeah.
And I bring it to nursery. And
it's kind of hilarious, too.
It is.
It fits your personality. Like,
oh, stop. Like, I'm blushing.
Like, playing the guitar, it's like, yeah, okay. You know, you kind of need to sound good if you play the guitar.
Excuse me, are you saying the ukulele doesn't have to sound?
No. Hang on.
Are you saying that my concert Fender ukulele is not amazing?
But you have this expectation of being very, when you play the guitar, of being... You know, one thing in your mind. And then in the ukulele is just kind of a jolly instrument.
It really is. It's like what Santa would play if he played an instrument.
You know, or like grandpa's like, hey, kids, I've got a secret. I don't know.
No, I love playing the ukulele. It's only come in, like, I had this one lady who made a comment about, like, Zoe Deschanel about how quirky she was. She's like, yeah, oh, and she plays the ukulele. And I was like, are you insulting you? Like, what? Yeah. And she just went off about how pretentious it was. And I was like, you know, I play ukulele. Yeah.
You want to see my concert drop G Fender ukulele right now? And you start beating her in the side of the head.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It got intense.
It was a little crazy.
Yeah, that got really violent, like, really quick. Sorry about that. well, then I'm going to insist. Do you have any recordings of you playing the ukulele?
If there were, I would immediately delete them off online so that you cannot be found.
Will you I don't need a video, but if you will make an audio recording, I'll include it at this part of the episode. And
I feel like the answer to that is absolutely no.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's fine. The last question is, do you have, or rather, let me take that back. What is your favorite part of your faith?
Oh, that's a question I should have thought of.
We can riff on ukuleles for a minute if you need a second.
No, I think I know the answer, and it's that that there is a plan, that it's not just all random, that you get to choose, though. Like, I have a hard time when people are like, they kind of go too far into the predetermined, like...
Well, it doesn't matter. It's already done.
Yeah.
I'm just living it out.
Yeah. Right. I love that there's a choice. And for me, I think Heavenly Father knew that with me, with my husband specifically, that it had to be my choice. Because like I said, like I used to rebel and go to church where people could see me and like, no, my family wasn't in the pew. I really have to, I'm so defiant. And if someone tells me like they'll recommend a TV show, I'd be like, I probably wouldn't like it.
Yeah.
And I just get really, as soon as someone suggests it, I'm like, I don't want to. So I really feel like if Heavenly Father had said, oh, no, this is your husband right here, I'd be like, I'll choose this guy just because he's not what you chose.
I know you said, but I'm going to. Yeah.
And especially at like 22 or something, I absolutely would. And so for me, it's the fact that I get to choose every day to be a faithful disciple. And some days I choose better than others. But I love that it's up to me. But even if I have a day where I slip, he still has a plan to get right back on it. I love that. I love that if you make a mistake, you can be right back. He's always willing to welcome you back.
Tell people the website if they want to get those.
FairyTailored.com. So it's FairyTailored.com. And if I didn't know how to spell tailored before, I really do now.
Yeah. We'll also include a link to that along with this episode at theculturalhall.com so people can check it out. We hope that this has nourished and strengthened your body, that if you weren't healthy enough to listen this week, that you'll be healthy enough to listen next week, and that when the time comes, you'll be able to travel home in safety. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you on the back row of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat on the back row. We really gotta go on the Cultural Hall show.